Grace to you and peace from our triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel text is the portion that's chosen for this morning's meditation. Luke chapter 10, 25, verses 25 to 37. We all know, we are all very familiar with the text. It's called Good Samaritan. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our Rock, our Redeemer. Amen. Luke chapters 9 and 10 are about mission. Last week we saw Jesus commissioning 72 disciples in pair to go out on mission trip in and around Israel. This morning I would like to look at this text from mission perspective so I may make some deliberate departures from the text and add some mission perspective into the text, and that is called preacher's prerogative. Okay? To be or not to be, that is the question, is the first famous line from Hamlet's soliloquy. Questioning marked the beginning of the age of rationalism. There are many reasons one raises a question: to clarify, to learn, and to test. This morning, Jesus is posed a question not to learn, not to clarify, but to put him into test. What, why, when, where, who, how, are some interrogative pro-adverbs. Sometimes we are bombarded with so many questions from our children. You may recall the famous commercial, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" That's how they learn in life sometimes. Normally, a question demands an answer, but in philosophy, a question can be answered with another question. Socratic method is all about answering a question with another question. Socratic method can be defined, I quote, "the use of questions as employed by Socrates to develop a latent idea as in the mind of a pupil, or to elicit admission as from of opponent tending to establish a proposition." Socrates sought to expose contradictions in the students' thoughts and ideas to then guide them to solid, tenable conclusion. This method is still popular in legal classrooms today. In the text, we have four questions. What should I do to inherit the kingdom of God? What is written in the law? Who is my neighbor? Which of these three was a neighbor? But friends, the whole text is centered around the question, who is my neighbor? Dr. Luke, the gospel writer, records a story, rather story within a story, in this passage in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another story that Jesus tells a young man who is portrayed to live a very righteous life, appreciated and approved by Jesus. This intelligent young lawyer falls totally from the grace and respect from the eyes of righteous God because this young man wants to brag and show off that he is very holy and demands he should inherit eternal life since he follows the basic and important commandment of loving God and loving neighbor. Jesus encourages him and wants him to keep doing it. To make things complicated, this young man asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" kind of million-dollar question. In response, Jesus tells him a story, what we today call Good Samaritan story. It's a story about a man who undertakes a travel on a very dangerous road from Jerusalem to Jericho, which passes through desert and rocky country. Historically, it was called the Bloody Way or the Way of Blood. Some suggest when Psalmist wrote 23:4, "Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death," he had this route in his mind. This location was suitable for robbers to rob the pilgrim caravans, the travelers, traveling priests and Levites who lived in Jericho and traveled to Jerusalem for their periodic religious duties at the temple covering a distance of 26 kilometers. Jesus introduces three more travelers, a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. Levites were descendants of Levi, Jacob's son, the second ranking figures next to priest. This sojourner is attacked by thieves, robbed of all his possessions, and left for dead. The assumption is that the victim is a Jew. Both priest and Levite avoid helping the wounded man for religious, social, or emotional reasons. According to Leviticus chapter 21, verses 1 to 3, priests were forbidden from touching a dead body except his own family members in the absence of any male help. The third one is a Samaritan who stops by, binds his wounds and puts him on his animal and admits him to an inn and promises to come back and settle its debts if there be any. Now the title Good Samaritan itself is an oxymoron. Samaritans were considered inferior, an impure race by Jews because they abandoned their religious and racial purity by marrying interracial marriages and worshipping idols at exiles in Babylon. Some call this enmity between Jews and Samaritans as the Samaritan schism. At one point of history, Samaritans happened to be those thieves and robbers who plundered travelers on this route, according to some scholars from the University of Notre Dame. Our focus this morning is going to be around this Good Samaritan. For a closer look, I want to see his characters under 3 points. First of all, he is a daring traveler. Fear is the first instinct that we carry from birth to death. So many phobias about death, disease, about future. When it comes to mission, it's the fear of the unknown. Strange people, strange culture, strange smell, strange food, flu shots and vaccinations. Talk about Mission India, it is the fear of holy cow experience. Christopher Columbus, Yuri Gagarin, Neil Armstrong are some daredevils when we talk about the adventure travel. St. Thomas the Apostle, first cross-cultural missionary to India. Carl Gustav Theodor Nather, first LCMS missionary to India. Mother Teresa are some of the daring angels in history of mission to India. Adventure and fear, they do not go together. Going back to our story, our protagonist dares this route, though he has much to risk, money, possession, and his animal. Also, he dares to break man-made order, barrier of the society, and approaches this half-dead man, not fearing the consequences. As a Samaritan, he is not supposed to do anything with Jews, as they were ostracized by Jews, or dare not break the social boundaries that we read more about in John's Gospel, chapter 4, the interaction between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. He cares least for his safety. He puts the safety of the wounded fellow traveler over his own. Jews hated Samaritans so much, at the end of the story, the young lawyer would not even mention the word Samaritan, but he replies to Jesus' question, one who showed mercy on him. Oh, those stubborn, hot-headed Semitic, what can I say? All daring and courage, all iron endurance of misfortune, make for a finer, nobler type of manhood, said President Theodore Roosevelt. When Mother Teresa wanted to do ministry, and it was a new nation, Jawaharlal Nehru took over as a prime minister. He had so many challenges facing poverty, division, etc., etc. Then one Hindu priest went to Nehru and said and complained about Mother Teresa. You know, this woman, she means to convert the West Bengal, Calcutta, and whole India to Christianity. You must do something about it. The next morning, Pandit Nehru landed in Calcutta unannounced and went with this Pandit to this Mother Teresa's place. It's called Missionaries of Charities. And they were surprised. And to the surprise of this Hindu priest, Mother Teresa was cleaning a leper. And Pandit Nehru looked at this priest. He told, I am a Pandit too, I am a priest, I am a Brahmin. You know, I cannot touch a leper. I will be defiled. You think you would dare to touch this leper and clean? And the Pandit said, no, 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 and he ran off. And you, my friends, it was Mother Teresa who dared to take the bull by its horns, as it were, and she wanted to convert the city of curses into city of joy. I want to read a poem written by Robert Frost. It's called The Road Not Taken. Two roads diverged into yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Two roads diverged into a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Secondly, this traveler is a sharing traveler. One of the things that leads to division, discrepancy, hate, prejudice, clashes, and bloodshed is possession. The French Revolution is all about that. We are all not equal when it comes to wealth, comfort, and fortune. Some are labeled as the haves, the others have-nots. Here in the story, Samaritan is well-possessed, and the victim is in total need of his sharing. When you happen to go to India, if you visit Bombay, you must go to this tower called Billion Dollar Tower. Its actual worth is today $2 billion, owned by one of the billionaires called Mukesh Ambani. It's called Antalya. The beauty or the ugliness of this tower is it's so pricey, but standing tall right in the middle of a slum where poorest of the poor lives there, where they lack even the basic needs. Samaritan, looking at the man wounded and half dead, he cleans up his wounds, dresses with oil and wine, the first aid of that time. He freely shares his possessions. He puts him on his donkey and walks by his side, admits him into the inn, stays with him, interrupting his errand. Next day he takes out and gives 2 denarii, Roman standard silver coin. 1 denarii is equal to 10 copper coins, and today's value, it would be anywhere near from $1,000 to $2,000 each. He promises the innkeeper, saying, see that this man gets well. Let nothing stop you. In case you spend more, you have my word that I will come back and settle it. What makes this gym so beautiful as a worship place is all those beautiful banners. Every Sunday my eye falls or drag to the one poster that we see, your stuff is not your stuff. That is the favorite quotation of our pastor Kreitzer. But we live in a world, some people's mantra is, my stuff is my stuff and your stuff is also my stuff. Sharing means exchange with one another, exchange your plenty with others' poverty. Again, it is Mother Teresa who once said, do not visit a poor man's house empty-handed. When missionaries came, they did not come empty-handed. They brought education, equality, of course they brought wheat and rice, dignity. They restored the image of God and turned for their dedication. They earned the love of the people. If you read Luke's Gospel 16, verses 19 to 31, there Jesus tells another beautiful story. It's about poor Lazarus and the rich man. They call Divas, Diva from the word. We get the word Diva. The problem, this rich man goes to hell in the second life, not because he was rich. The problem is he failed to share God-given blessings with the poor man Lazarus, who was waiting at his gate for one morsel of food. Finally, this traveler is a caring traveler. Let me define the word care. The provision of what is necessary for the health, welfare, maintenance, and protection of someone or something. The other meaning, serious attention or consideration applied to doing something correctly or to avoid damage or risk. In a world of people who say, I don't care, there are some who still care, like the hero of our story. Sometimes those who care about others do not care enough about themselves. In the story, Good Samaritan does not pause to think, what if the robbers are still hiding? What if they attack? I have much to risk. Care is full of action, dressing, applying the first aid, sharing comfort, and walking that extra mile. All those clouds of witnesses in mission left their homes, kindred, families, friends, comfort simply because they cared for the people who were least cared, considered and treated inhuman, and lived in a dehumanizing condition, in bonded labor, in slavery, fear and intimidation, diseases, illiteracy, superstitions, and put their lives online because they cared. When Theodore Nathan, the first missionary to India, wanted to go to India, many discouraged him, saying they didn't want him to go to the land of heathens and idol worshippers. Friends, today there is a church with 115,000 baptized members, 1,000 churches, and 65,000 communicate members, and 1,400 pastors, just because one man cared. Bethany Mission Enterprises was born with the vision and the burden of Pastor Kreitzer in 2006. He gave me the opportunity to be the part of it. The blessing it passed on to India, timely, precious, and invaluable. Support to orphanages, Happy Home Orphanage, and Lutheran School for the Deaf and Dumb from 2007. Hearing aids, help to widows with milking cows and goats, encouraging church planters with monetary support, donating water wells, grocery supplies to tsunami victims and flood victims in Chennai, a mud wall thatched roof structure transformed to two-level brick building, beautiful church, one-time financial support to Acts Ministries in Bangalore, and one-time support to Mother Teresa Ministries in Calcutta, so on and so forth, just to name a few. If you read John 12:24, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seed. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great theologian, Lutheran theologian, said, When God calls you for mission, He wants you to go out and die. Life is a journey, a travel. In this journey, till we reach our destination, we are hurt by someone on the way, and we hurt some intentionally or otherwise. Having been healed by the wounds of Christ, our Lord Jesus, and washed by His precious blood, we are called to attend to those who are bruised, robbed, and left aside, abandoned by the roadside for dead, helping them to revive, recuperate, and restore to health by willing to spend and to be spent. Friends, by placing a Samaritan as a neighbor to a Jew, our Lord Jesus attempted to bring the divided races together by building the bridge called love, care, and compassion. Jesus goes on to remind us, it is not how much we know cognitively, but how much we care compassionately what we know in everyday life. As we go out to live, Jesus tells each one of us, you and you and you, go out and do likewise. Amen. Peace of God that passes all the understanding, guard our hearts and minds, and keep them for eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.